when you come to a conclusion, you have to really not care what other people say and just follow the facts and follow your reasoning. And that's tough for a lot of people.
That is the voice of Warren Buffett, and he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff.
We have a
liftoff. We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Welcome to the Super You Podcast, the podcast designed to entertain, educate, and empower you to your best life, or simply put, a podcast for those looking to unlock and unleash your superpowers on the world. I'm your host, Eric Qualman, but many of you know me as Equal Man. I've been blessed to write 6 best-selling books, perform in over 50 countries, and reach 30 million people this decade. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. Along the way, I've been blessed to have personally met or been introduced to some of the world's top performers. On today's show, we'll be getting 7 super tips from the most respected investor of our time, the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett. And here is Warren with tip number 1.
I'm going to let each one of you pick out the car of your choice. Sounds good, doesn't it? Pick it out, any color. You name it, it'll be tied up with a bow, and it'll be at your house tomorrow. And you say, well, what's the catch? And the catch is that it's the only car you're going to get in your lifetime. Now, what are you going to do knowing that that's the only car you're ever going to have and you love that car? You're going to take care of it like you cannot believe. Now, what I'd like to suggest, you're not going to get only one car in your lifetime, but you're going to get one body and one mind, and that's all you're going to get. And that body and mind feels terrific now, but it has to last you a lifetime.
There's an old saying that leaders are readers and readers are leaders, and Buffett falls into that camp. He dedicates 80% of his day to reading, so on average he reads 600 to 1,000 pages per day. When Buffett was asked the key to his success, he pointed to a stack of papers, about 600 high, and said, "Read that. Read 600 pages a day. That's how knowledge works. It works like compound interest." So my question to you is, how are you keeping your mind sharp, just like Buffett is? Here is tip number 2 from the man that still uses a Nokia flip phone.
I absolutely advise students. I had students last week, 160 of them from Harvard and South Dakota State. I just tell them, try to find your passion. And, you know, I mean, may not find it the first time, but, you know, don't sleepwalk through life. Find something that you really enjoy doing if you can do it. And, you know, not everybody's lucky enough to be able to find that, but it ought to be your goal. To make $10 a week more doing something that you don't feel good about compared to something you'd feel good about, you know, make the change.
Famous motivational speaker Zig Ziglar used to say, don't be a walking generality. And that's what Warren Buffett's getting here. He's saying, be intentional. Be intentional with every minute, every moment, every day. And a way for us to do that is to ask a question. Always pause throughout the day and ask yourself the question, what am I doing and should I be doing this? Moving on to tip number 3 from the man that bought his first stock at the age of 11.
Just being born in the United States in 1930, the odds were like 30 to 1 against me. I mean, you know, I didn't have anything to do with picking the United States as I emerged. And having decent genes for certain things. And in my own case, I was sort of wired for capital allocation. And being wired for capital allocation a couple of hundred years ago in Nebraska wouldn't have meant a thing. And even now, being born in various parts of the world, it wouldn't have meant much. But here I was in this soon-to-be very rich capitalistic system. And it just so happened that what I did paid off enormously in a market system like we have. And if I'd had a talent in some other area that was way less commercial, I mean, I would have had a good time doing it, but it wouldn't have paid off like this. But of course, Jay said it perfectly when he talked about, you know, he's in a recording for himself and the money comes afterwards. I mean,
I got to do what I love. I mean, and it doesn't get any luckier than that. If you can spend your lifetime, and I'm 80 now, and doing things you love every single day. I mean, I would be doing what I did, what I do now, and I would have done it in the past if the payoff had been in seashells or shark's teeth or anything else. If you can go to work every morning, I tap dance to work, you know, and I come down, and I every day's exciting. So that is lucky. I mean, that didn't have to happen that way. If I'd been born in 1930, if I'd been born a female, if I'd been born black, I would not have had the same opportunities that I had. I mean, it's chance. I mean, my parents loved my sisters just as much as they loved me. My sisters are just as smarter than I am and all of that, but they didn't have the same expectations in the 30s for a young smart girl as they had for a young smart guy. And so I've had all kinds of luck. I had the luck of, I got turned down by Harvard. Well, getting turned down by Harvard meant I got to study under Ben Graham at Columbia, which changed my life. All kinds of things have worked out.
Nearly 94% of Buffett's wealth has come after the age of 60, meaning he did what he loved, and then all of a sudden the money follows. So that's true for all of us. You do what you love, and then it's crazy how often the money will follow if you actually do what you love. The other thing to that is that when Jeff Bezos sat down and talked with Warren Buffett, he asked Buffett, he goes, "Why what you practice and what you preach is so simple, why doesn't everyone follow it?" So Buffett, with a twinkle in his eye, kindly replied, "People just don't want to get rich slow. They want to get rich quick." Here we are with tip number 4 from the man who says he rarely sends email. In fact, he said he's only sent one email in his life, and it wound up putting him into federal court.
You find your passion. I was very, very lucky to find it, you know, when I was 7 or 8 years old. And, you know, and fortunately, my children have found their passion. My, you know, one son loves farming like nothing else. One son loves music like everything else. And all three of them love philanthropy and what they get to do. You're lucky in life when you find it. And you can't guarantee you're going to find it in your first job out. But I always tell the college students that come out, I say, take the job that you would take if you were independently wealthy. You know, that's, you're going to do well at it.
One thing that Buffett is passionate about is that every Sunday he takes 12 kids to the local DQ, the Dairy Queen. Usually it's his grandchildren and their friends. And one of the reasons he takes them for ice cream, because he loves, first of all, Warren Buffett loves ice cream, but also he's found that they're so attached to their phones that the only way to get them off their phone is actually give them something they have to lick. In this case, it's ice cream. And then he can have a conversation with them. Moving into tip number 5 from the man who people are willing to pay $4 million just to have lunch with.
If you look around you at the people you admire, you know, they have certain qualities. I mean, you've got friends, why do you like them? You know, generally, you know, they have an upbeat attitude on life. Generally, they are generous people. They're humorous people. They're people that do more than their share. They're people that are thinking about something nice they can do for you. And all of those qualities attract you. And none of those are innate at birth. I mean, you can acquire those. And then there's other people that turn you off, you know. They have habits. They take credit for things they didn't do. They don't show up on time, whatever it may be. They're a little dishonest about things. And if you're looking at your life at a young age like you are, and you can choose what kind of a person you can be, why not be the person you admire rather than the person you can't stand? It's so simple. So just write down the qualities you like. Take your 5 best friends. Why do you like them? And just write down those qualities. And you will find there's no quality there that you can't have yourself. And similarly with the 5 people you can't stand to be around, put those things down that turn you off about those people. And if they turn you off about them, why should you possess them? It's so simple. It's enormously important to have people work with you in life. They may occasionally, I mean, if you're in the Army or something, you know, you may work for somebody that you don't like. But by and large, you're going to get the best out of people if they feel good about you.
Success certainly doesn't happen alone. Charlie Munger, who's the partner of Warren Buffett, Buffett explains that he could not have the success without Charlie Munger. It's true for him. It's true for all of us. There's an old formula that if you take the average of the salaries of the five people, of your five closest friends, if you average their salaries, that is what your salary is. But more importantly, if you average what their characteristics are, that's kind of the average of you. And so you really are and become the people that you surround yourself with. Here's tip number six from the man that's lived in the same house in Omaha, Nebraska since 1958.
And I was always fascinated by it. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do early, and I think that's a huge advantage too. And then you don't need a lot of brains in this business. I mean, I've always said if you got an IQ of 160, give away 30 points to somebody else because you don't need it in investments. What you do need is emotional stability. You have to be able to think independently, and you have to be when you come to a conclusion, you have to really not care what other people say and just follow the facts and follow your reasoning. And that's tough for a lot of people. That part I think I was just lucky with. I was born that way.
Like anyone that has achieved success, which Buffett certainly has, he has faced his setbacks. After graduating 3 years from the University of Nebraska, he applied to Harvard and was rejected. In fact, after a brief interview with the school that would determine his acceptance, the staff said to Buffett, "Forget it, you're not going to Harvard." But like a lot of things in life, things happen for you, not to you. And so for Buffett, that actually helped him when he got rejected from Harvard, because then he soon discovered that one of his idols, Benjamin Graham, who's the father of value investing, and he found out that David Dodd was now a professor at Columbia Business School. And so Buffett wrote them a letter and he said, "Dear Professor Dodd, I thought you guys were dead, but now that I found out that you're alive and teaching at Columbia, I would really like to come." And Dodd admitted him. Here's tip number seven from a man who's an American treasure and a huge investor in Coca-Cola, so much so that he says that a quarter of what he consumes each and every day is Coca-Cola.
I would like to tell you of two women that each sold a business to Berkshire Hathaway, to me actually, for many, many, many millions of dollars. Both of them started with $2,500. By a coincidence, it was the exact same amount. It was everything they had in the world. And one of them was a woman who landed in Seattle in 1917, couldn't speak a word of English, had a tag around her neck. The tag said, Fort Dodge, Iowa. The Red Cross got her to Fort Dodge, where she was reunited with her husband who had come to the country a couple of years earlier. And she lived in Fort Dodge for 2 years, and as she put it, she felt like a dummy. She couldn't pick up the language. She couldn't learn a word. And so she and her husband decided to move to Omaha. So they came to Omaha in 1919, and there she found a small colony of Russian Jews, so she started feeling more at home. And then as her oldest daughter went to school, she would come home, this daughter, Frances, and she would teach her mother the words she had learned in school that day. And this woman, Rose Blumpkin, spent 20 years saving money, bringing first her siblings over, her mother and father, $50 at a time. She sold used clothing to do it. She had four children during this period. And by 1937, after 20 years, she'd saved $2,500. She went to Chicago and she bought what she could of furniture. Her dream had always been to open a furniture store. And this woman, who had never gone to school one day in her life, with $2,500, but with the same spirit that the people in this room had about having a dream and working to accomplish that dream, she built a business which she sold to me in 1983 for $60 million approximately, and which
which did $1.5 billion worth of business last year. The fourth generation is working in that business. This woman, Rose Blumpkin, lived, well, she worked for me until she was 103. And then she retired and she died the next year, which is a lesson to all of Berkshire's managers that premature retirement, you know, you can't tell what's going to happen. But Mrs. B, with her $2,500, one further fact about her, she could not read or write. And she went into a furniture business, and she didn't bring anything in unique in furniture, but she brought a determination to succeed. She knew she could outwork anyone else. She knew that she cared about her customers. She worked at very low gross margins, but she built this incredible business.
Wow, this has been one of my favorite shows, and I hope it's one of your favorites as well. We can learn so much from Warren Buffett. One thing that he's taught me and one thing that he used when he was investing is he read a book about Ted Williams. Ted Williams is the only baseball player in Major League Baseball to hit 400. When he read this book about Ted Williams, Ted Williams indicated that he only swings when a pitch was in his sweet spot, meaning that he didn't swing at every good pitch. He only swung at the ones that were in his sweet spot. And Warren Buffett applies that to investing and also applies it to his life. But when it comes to investing, Warren stays within his lane. There's so many good opportunities that look good, but if it's not a lane in which he's an expert in, his sweet spot, then he avoids it at all costs. And that is how he has built his fortune, and that is why he is an American icon today. The seven super tips from the Oracle of Omaha are: tip number one, your body and mind have to last a lifetime. Tip number two, don't sleepwalk through life. Tip number three, do the things that you love. Tip number four, find your passion. Tip number five, be the person you want to be. Tip number six, don't worry about what others think. And tip number seven, have the determination to succeed. My favorite tip or tips, I'm going to cheat today. I'm going to give you two. I love tip number two, don't sleepwalk through life. Be intentional with every moment. How we spend our days is how we spend our lives. And also I love tip number six, don't worry about what other people think. Stay in your lane. Keep those blinders. Keep going forward. Keep going for that goal. That's it for today's seven super tips from Warren Buffett. Please join us next time as Kevin O'Leary, that's right, the shark himself, Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank, will be joining us to give us his seven super tips.
And so as your business grows and you make decisions about individual people, you can't let your emotion get in the way of what you really need to do, which is to drive success of the business.
These tips from today's top thought leaders are a fantastic reminder to all of us that it's not about being perfect. It's about being the perfect you. Thank you for listening to today's Super You podcast. This is Equal Man reminding all of us, until next time, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7
6
5
4
3
2
1
Super, 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 super.
Super You.
Hey.